What's up, guys? Welcome back to the RCT Network. Now, I don't know if I discussed the Maui fires in the show that I dropped the other day, but today we need to talk about something extremely important. I want to first say this. Look, when I get in this conversation, I personally have experience living in disaster zones. I'm from Southwest Florida, and in my lifetime, I've lived in three disaster zones that impacted my hometown directly. Two of them were some of the worst disaster zones in the United States in the last 50 years. You had Hurricane Irma in 2017, Hurricane Ian in 2022, just this past year. Hurricane Ian was the deadliest hurricane to hit the state of Florida in the last century. You know, they say 150 people died in Fort Myers alone just from drowning from the storm surge. I think the number was a lot higher. They're still finding bodies, by the way. So I'm going to give you some personal experience that relates to some of the stuff these people in Lahaina are dealing with. And recently in the news, I've been seeing in videos from the people in Lahaina saying that, you know, they're getting real estate agents and real estate investors from outside calling them wanting to acquire the property that has been impacted in the fire. And they're getting pissed off about it. And rightly so. It's rude. It's unethical. And they should be ashamed of themselves for doing so, trying to take advantage of people, especially during a disaster. My grandparents' house was completely ruined in Hurricane Irma in 2017. To this day, it has not been rebuilt. It is a standing structure with nothing inside of it because the storm surge got in it. And because of government regulation and things like that, they haven't been able to redo the house. In 2022, last year, when Hurricane Ian hit, that very week, my grandmother had a real estate investor from up north with some big hedge fund call her. And he knew that that area, her neighborhood, had been impacted by a storm quite severely. He didn't know that the house had already been completely wrecked in 2017, though, from the last hurricane, but either way, he called and offered her like $90,000 for the property. Sorry. Which is far, far less than what it's worth. The house, the property alone, the land alone without the house, is probably worth between $500,000 and $750,000. It's been in a very prime area. It's only like a mile from the beach. He offered her like $90,000. I remember my grandmother giving the phone to my dad, and my dad talking to the guy and said, "Look, you give us $1 million, we'll consider it. We'll have a discussion. $1 million. And the guy's, you know, obviously like, "You're crazy, you know, blah, blah, blah. You'll never get that." And my dad's like, "Who cares? I don't have to sell the house. I don't want to sell the house. It's $1 million and you're trying to take advantage of us. If you don't want to pay $1 million, then you basically can go get fucked." Obviously, it didn't go anywhere and moved on. To the people in Lahaina, you're going to deal with this. It's sad, but you're going to deal with this. You're going to have people wanting to come in and take advantage of you. What my advice to you is just deal with it. Tell them to go get fucked, or give them some crazy absurd price that you're willing to accept. If they don't pay it, they don't pay it. You weren't wanting to sell it to them anyway. And if they do pay it, well, hell, that's their fault. Or get together as a community, all the people who have been impacted, and come up with prices that you're willing to accept for your property, if you are even wanting to do that. But what I'm going to say is this. When it comes to private transactions, you have a choice. You have a voluntary choice to sell your property or not. People are going to call you. Who cares? Who cares? I know it sucks emotionally. Trust me, I have been there. I know. But I would rather have that than what the government of Hawaii is actually planning on doing. And this is what worries me. I've seen the videos of the people saying that they're getting these calls, and I've seen videos of residents of Lahaina saying that the government needs to crack down on it and needs to ban these people from coming in and purchasing land. Look, if they come in and purchase land, the people who are selling it to them are voluntarily selling it to them. The people in Lahaina should be able to sell their properties if they want to sell their properties, especially in the time of a disaster. Because I can guarantee you this. I can guarantee you this. It doesn't matter if it's a Republican or Democrat in office. You're not going to get enough aid to cover your losses like you think. This is going to set you back, unfortunately. It is going to set you back a long ways. You're never going to get, unless you have a great insurance policy, you're never going to get back to where you're at right now when it comes to that property. When it comes to your life, really. It's going to take a long time. It's not going to be in the near future. You're not going to get anything from the government that's going to make you whole again. Anything that's going to make you whole again is going to come from your own hard work and doings, your own equity in the property maybe, and your own private insurance. Other than that, you're not going to get it. The government's going to give you $700. $700 fucking dollars. That's it. Just gave Ukraine $200 million. By the way, $700 per household in Lahaina is only like $2.5 million in total aid. But what the governor of Hawaii, Josh Green, who's basically, from what I've read, is a socialist, by the way. He was elected to build, excuse me if I completely torture this word, Kahale, K-A-U-H-A-L-E. I think that's how you say it, Kahale. It's a Hawaiian word, I imagine, which means villages. His goal, his agenda is to build communal living. He said in an interview the other day that he is looking for the state to acquire the land that is damaged in the fires. And he's looking for the state to acquire the land to build affordable housing and worker housing. Or just to build memorials for the people that were impacted. Really to do, and that's, you know, I hate to say this, but to be honest, to do nothing with it. Or waste it. And I started thinking, first of all, who is he building worker houses for? Who are the people working for? And I'm going to get into that here in a second. But there's a huge, huge push with these memes on social media that are going after celebrities like Oprah and all that. And look, I don't think Oprah is a very good person at all. But when you go and you look at the map on where this fire in Lahaina had impacted, and then go look up where celebrities own houses on Maui, they're nowhere near where the fire is. Of course, the celebrity houses didn't get impacted because the fire wasn't really around where the celebrities' houses were. But in this country, and I think a lot of it is the government, by the way, the left, are pushing this thing against private, wealthy people, saying, oh, look, they're just trying to do land grabs. You know, there's conspiracy saying that the fire was started in order for the private sector to come in and buy up cheap land. The private sector is going to come in and try and take advantage of it, as we are seeing. There's no doubt about it. But I think, and I'm not going to speculate on why the fires were started, but as far as the opportunity that presents itself now, it seems kind of obvious to me on how they started. The Hawaii governor is now looking to implement a moratorium on the ban of private sales of the properties impacted in the fire in Lahaina, which means he's going to put a ban on the people in Lahaina voluntarily selling their property to private investors and private individuals outside of Hawaii to begin with. Have you ever heard the term, there's nothing more permanent than a temporary government program? And when you start putting these pieces of the puzzle together, the governor wants to have the state acquire the land impacted by the fire and put a ban on the private sale of the land, which means if they put a ban on the private sale, you now have no choice but to have the state acquire the land if you are in financial struggle. Like I said, the government is not going to give you enough aid to make you whole. Where a lot of the aid is going to go is to the state of Hawaii. The state of Hawaii, in my opinion, again, I said I wasn't going to speculate on why the fires happened, but here we go. The state of Hawaii are going to use the fires as a quick way to receive federal funding to go and acquire land from the people who now are banned from getting voluntarily negotiated prices from private investors, and basically forcing the people who, if they're selling their land to private investors, then they're probably in a situation where they have to sell the land to recoup losses, and they're going to force you to buy it at whatever the state now determines the value of that land is. He is looking to build cheap, affordable housing and worker housing and communal housing, by the way, this is on his website, for around $150,000 per unit when you go and you look at what they're trying to do, you're not going to get anywhere near what the market value is for your property. The Kahali that he is trying to build will consist of things like communal bathrooms and amenities. And he wants to basically create communes. It's saying it on his own website, by the way. This is the agenda he was elected on. Him and his wife both have the same goal. And going back to, well, who is he building worker housing for? Like, who are the workers? Well, Maui is a hotspot for tourism, right? It's a lot of celebrities live on the island. By the way, Maui is the island. Lahaina is a city in Maui. There's other cities. That's what I'm saying. Celebrities own houses outside of that. But the cost of living in Hawaii is extreme. It's like 75% higher than it is anywhere else in the United States. I saw some statistic, and I don't know how true this is, but it says a family really needs to have about $200,000 in income to live comfortably in Hawaii, which is absurd. So if it costs so much to live in Hawaii, Maui, which is a very tourist hot spot, you know, hot real estate market, I can only imagine it's extremely hard to get new workers that are, you know, lower end workers, lower wage workers to live on the island because it's hard for them to live. So what do they need to do? They need to, in order to grow that tourism and to bring those celebrities into Maui and stuff, you need more services to offer these celebrities. You need more workers. The government sees this as a money-making opportunity. They're going to go and they're going to start taking over and acquiring land cheaply, having government-subsidized housing for the workers, utilizing federal funds given to them from aid for the fires that will not go to the people that are impacted in Lahaina. Hell, the people in Lahaina can't even get fucking water from private donors because the FEMA and the Red Cross didn't approve it. By the way, in all three major disaster zones I've lived in my lifetime, been impacted by hurricanes, not one fucking time, not one fucking time, I don't mean to cuss, but not one fucking time have I ever seen anything with the Red Cross there. Anything. The Red Cross is the most overrated, corrupt organization out there when it comes to these disasters. Do not donate money to the Red Cross. The best form of aid has always come in the form of private nonprofits or private donors. That's why DeSantis, during Hurricane Irma, was pushing for you to donate to private organizations because they were immediately giving out aid. Go look. There are private people. There was a big-time surfer that was trying to fly in insulin and medicine literally hours after the fire had stopped, and they were being halted because it was not approved by FEMA. So people want to entrust government bureaucracy all the time. Like, it's okay that the government can ban private sales on Hawaii or on Maui because it's the government, right? And people are forced to rely on the government. But it's not okay when the private individuals are trying to take advantage of you. I let the government fuck me in the ass, but I don't want a private person voluntarily doing it. Like, that, how crazy is this? And it's crazy that people in the United States now, especially with examples throughout history, are wanting to rely more and more and fund more and more government bureaucracy to take care of their needs. And it continually, time and time again, fails. Like, go look on TikTok and Twitter on the videos showing how people have literal water, blankets, everything lined up, ready to go, private people. And it is halted and blockaded because it wasn't approved by FEMA. This is why it takes so long for people to get on back on track with their lives, because it's entrusted in the government. Private charity always outperforms government programs. But the government needs you to rely on them because they need to justify its existence. And I'm not an anarchist at all. There are important things for the government. But why isn't the military? By the way, Pearl Harbor is not far. We have extreme military presence in Hawaii. Why isn't the military over there right now helping out? Though they may be now, but it's late. Biden had no comment the other day when it came to how they were handling the fires. It's extremely frustrating, but But the fact that I get it. Like, you don't want to deal with people calling you trying to buy your property and take advantage of you. That's fine. Just, you can tell them to go fuck off. You can't tell the government to go fuck off, though. And you're going to be forced into a position to give your land back to the government. And this is a land grab, not by the celebrities. It's a land grab by the government itself. And you're going to see a transition to a more socialist, communist society there if they get their way. Anytime the government says that they're looking to acquire land and then is going to impose a ban on you selling that land to anybody else but them, come on. It's obvious. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it, please. Like, we're going down a really bad route here. How can we not see what is going on? You ever wonder why a lot of the cost of living in Hawaii is so high? Well, for one, it's an island, right? So getting supplies in and out and goods and services in and out of there, obviously there's an extra expense. But how about the taxation? How about the forced unionization in Hawaii? I talked about unions on the last episode and how corrupt that is. How about government programs? Anytime the government touches something, it gets expensive. Look at universities. Government subsidizes 96% of student loans. Think about that. Think about how contradicting it is for the government. And when I say the government, I'm talking about the left because they're in control of the government. How contradicting is it for them to say they want to cancel student loans, but they're the ones that are subsidizing and giving people the excessive student loans? Wake up, people. Wake up. People know I'm an economics guy, and I know economics doesn't, you know, entertain a lot of people, right? It's not attractive. It's not easy to listen to, but you need to listen to it. You need to hear it because economics, basic economics, is not politically favorable. And politicians are always going to maneuver themselves with a political motive. I write about this. Like, I have a book here in front of me that I write all my notes down in. And I mean, I could publish it, right? It's just my thoughts. And I go through and I literally, all the stuff I read and write down in comparisons, I go through and I mean, everything from socialism to unions to taxation to everything going on in society and just observations I make, I have it all written down. And there's something I have here, and I haven't finished writing it, but it's the called the government catch-22. And we know what a catch-22 is, right? A catch-22 is like you have a situation and there's no good option. And it's kind of just choosing whatever is the best option, and both are going to be negative. But the government catch-22, I titled the big catch-22 of politics and economics, is they contradict themselves. And for a politician, if they want to make a decision that's good economically, that really will be in the best interest of people, it just won't be in the best interest in the short term, then they're going to completely risk their whole political career. Margaret Thatcher is a good example of this. Margaret Thatcher had to completely reinvent England's economics, and it cost her a lot of her reputation. Now, she's the Iron Lady, right? But England suffered, and Ronald Reagan in the beginning of his term, the economy didn't do very well, but it came back and it roared. But he did so at the cost of getting rid of the reliance on government and making us more free, right? Liberty is the big word. Liberty is just individuality, letting you act on behalf of yourself and do what's best for you. But I just want to kind of go down what I have written here. And again, this is just the beginning of this, but I said the human mind is a phenomenal thing, right? Yet we're all different, but we're all still the same. But throughout history, when there were no decisive I don't know what hello. When there's no decisive studies, you know, showing how the individual brain functions, humans have still been manipulating each other with the use of mental psychology. And that's what separates us apart, I think, from the rest of the animal kingdom. When it comes to Darwinism and his theory of natural selection, usually it shows itself in like a physical form. The strong will survive, right? Natural selection. When it comes to animals, yeah, because they're going to fight it out, like the lion, to be the alpha male, and every woman wants to go and breed with the alpha male. But when it comes to humans, we're a little bit different because we have a lot of weak people physically that were able to survive. In fact, how is it? I want you to think of this. How is it that the majority of our leaders are not the best physically? They're not even the smartest people. But they do all have something in common. And when it comes to the people in leadership roles, they're not the strongest, they're not the most intelligent, but they are the most manipulative. And they're very savvy people. And you can say this about anyone. You can say, look, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and all of them are idiots, in my opinion. And a lot of the Republicans too. But they're very good at manipulating things in their favor. Come on. The term, don't let a good crisis go to waste. How can you take something so bad and flip it by utilizing words to keep people behind you? Joe Biden literally has said some of the most racist things throughout his political history. But he knows, for one, that most people won't take the time to go back and look at it. And that they'll ignore it. And then he can just, MacGyver himself and his agenda in such a way that he gets the backing of the very people that he tried to discriminate against his whole 40 years in office. And I want you to think about this even further. I go on and I give examples. It says the majority of the United States Congress, right? The majority of them are physically lacking. And in some cases, they can hardly even walk or speak, as we see with Feinstein, Mitch McConnell, Joe Biden, the guy from Pennsylvania, right? I mean, there's so many examples. But yet they're some of the most powerful people in the world. And I want to go back and look at other examples. When it comes to communism, the ability for persuasion, politicians are very persuasive people, they have to be. The ability, but the difference is you can be persuasive like a salesperson. But a politician, the difference between a politician and a salesperson is, I think salespeople most of the time have limits, especially good ones, right? But when it comes to a politician, it's persuasion at all cost, and it's how far they're actually willing to push it and what they're actually able to give up in order to get into the position they're in. The best example is communism. Karl Marx and Frederick Engels made the idea popular, obviously. But Vladimir Lenin put it into action. Vladimir Lenin was very short in stature and far from the most physical being. But he knew how to exploit issues in the Russian society so much that only 13% of the population in Russia was able to eliminate a dynasty that had gone on for over 1,000 years. One of the largest dynasties in the world. And even more proof of my point is Lenin's successor, Joseph Stalin. Stalin, people may not know this, but Stalin was intelligent, but he wasn't the smartest guy. And he was only like 5'3" in height. And he had no prominence to his family name. He grew up in Georgia, the country, and was poor. He was a nobody. He's a short, average intellectual. But the difference was that he was able to implement himself as a sole decision maker and the general secretary of the Soviet Union Communist Party, because he was able to persuade. He was able to He was willing to go that extra mile and push so far and do whatever it takes to get that power. And that's what politicians are. During World War II, he was able to persuade an entire country, millions of people. By the way, Russia had suffered, what, 20 million casualties or deaths during World War II? And yet he was still able to persuade the country to fight at all costs. And now you could say, well, they were just fighting for the nation's survival. Yeah, but when you look at Stalin was the reason for many of those deaths. Look at Stalingrad and Leningrad, by the way. He blockaded that and didn't let any civilians leave because he thought that the Soviet army would fight harder if the civilians were in there. Meanwhile, all of those civilians starved to death. Millions of people. And he was able to lead this army during World War II after a decade of purging and killing millions and millions of people. Many of the people that fought for Stalin, the Soviet Union, and died for him, by the way, did so under communism and the idea of communism. And that very idea is responsible for killing many millions of their own family members, loved ones. What kind of mind fuck do you have to have on people to go and kill their family and purge family in the Soviet Union? Millions of people starve to death, take their land under the idea of communism. And still, somehow, 10 years later, with no kind of gain, nothing is better. The situation is not better, right? Like, these people went into the idea of communism that it would get better, even with all of the bad shit they went through, and it never got better. They saw no kind of progress and still followed it because of force and persuasion. And Stalin spent the 1930s killing all of these people. Killing off most of his military, by the way. And this is why it's such a unique example when it comes to the human race. Because animals, I don't think, would even put up with this. Regular animals, they would not put up with that kind of shit. Think about, you know, so Stalin's a great example. Communism is the best example, but Hitler too. Hitler, again, yeah, former veteran. So I'd say he's a little better than Stalin as far as physicality, but Hitler was a master persuader, master manipulator. And he was able to get voted in and get the backing and utilize. He's able to exploit Germany's problems following World War I and weaponize it to get elected. And when he got elected, he was able to transform that government to where he had autonomous power over it. People can say what they want, and everyone always takes this out of context, but it's true. Hitler was a very bad person, very, very, very bad person, one of the most evil people in history, but he was a great leader, and you can't deny that. He was extremely effective at what he did. And the difference between communism, the reason why I think communism is even a better example of the manipulative powers, you know, when it comes to persuading and leading people in the wrong direction than Hitler, is because all of the people under communism, all of them suffered under communism. When it came to Hitler, while he purged out an entire race, you know, the Jews and all that, yeah, he did all that. But everyone else actually liked him. No one liked Stalin. They just feared Stalin. When it came to Hitler, a lot of the people in the German society actually did very well because he gave them jobs and he didn't reduce their way of living. In fact, he made their standard of living much, much better in Germany and other countries, by the way, that he occupied because of, I mean, these countries were wrecked after World War I, and Germany was experiencing crazy inflation and all that, and they still did under Hitler, but he was able to create a society that was gave the appearance that they were getting better off, where Stalin created this society where everyone is literally fucking worse off and getting worse off and dying, and he was killing them, and they still, you know, went and followed that man till he died. So, you know, when it comes to economics, though, and when it comes to politics, politicians on both sides are only going to do what's best for politicians. Because our society has been, it's like the government's a drug, right? I always say welfare is a drug as well. Once you give a little bit to someone, you can't take it back. That's why temporary government programs are permanent. Social Security is larger today than it was when Roosevelt implemented it. And it gets more and more expensive. Why? You can't get rid of Social Security because people think that they're going to have to rely on it, which is false. And once you get the government on the drug of, once you get the people on the drug of government, they're hooked. It's worse than heroin. The government knows that. The government knows that it really has no business being as large as it is, but it can exploit, and they can exploit you through coercion. Think about it. If you don't want to do business with Walmart, then just don't go to Walmart. But if you don't want to do business with the government, if you don't want to pay your taxes, guess what? You're at risk of going to jail. You now have serious physical consequences. That's the difference. That's why it's crazy that, okay, you don't want a monopoly in the private sector. I get it. You don't want, you know, Walmart having 100% market share, and you don't want Amazon being so large. But you're okay with the government being that big? You're okay with the government having a monopoly? How backwards are you? Like, why? I don't get it. Look, at least I can buy shares in Amazon and reap the rewards of their growth and money that they're bringing in. But I can't do that with the government. They always say, oh yeah, the government's going to do its best for people. The people got, you love this. When the government makes money, especially when they make money, let's say from foreign investments or whatever, what fucking benefit have you ever gotten? Have you ever gotten a check from the dividends and the interest that is earned by government projects overseas? No. Never. You never have. Why? And then, but they, you would think you did, because they always often say the people made all this money, right? It's an investment. The government investment and the returns that the people got was unfounded. What'd they get? A nice fucking building in the middle of downtown? I always say this. The epitome of government corruption. If you want a picture of what a corrupt government looks like, and for those of you that know me, know I'm over here in Australia. I'm back and forth between Australia and the United States. My wife's from Australia. So I see two different sides as well, both capitalist societies, but Australia is a lot more socialist than they would like to admit. And they have a strong reliance on the government. But if you want to see an epitome of a government that is too big and taking too much, you go to a small town where people are making low income and they're just doing what they can to get by. And their local government buildings will be fucking nice as shit. There will be the, if the government has the nicest infrastructure in your town, that is a sign that they are too big and taking too much. There's no reason the government should ever have the nicest standing structures, except maybe Washington, D.C. would be the only example, because it's all a federal place. Like, it's designated as just a government area. It should never be like that. But I saw it here in Australia. I've seen it in small towns all over the United States where you know, the courthouse or the county clerk's office or whatever is high tech and everything like that, and everything else around it is still back in the 1930s and not by choice. And going back to what's going on in Hawaii, don't fall for what you see on the internet. Don't fall for this demonization of private individuals just because they have money and because they may have bad intentions. I would rather deal with the bad intentions of private people where I can voluntarily choose to do business with them or not do business with them than deal with the bad intentions of a government where I'm forced into dealing with them. And that's my warning to the people of Hawaii.